Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby Podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this week's Big Tech Show, when you travel, how do you avoid getting completely ripped off on roaming charges outside of Europe? And what are some of the travel hacks you should know about that aren't included in the tech you buy? We give you all the tips you need to know.
On top of my list, Adrian, is my noise-cancelling headphones. When I put them on, I love that it just goes boom, and you're in this kind of sonic bubble and you can't hear the baby and you can't hear that weird frequency of the aircon on the airplane.
The Big Tech Show. Available on all podcast platforms.
An Irish Independent digital subscription doesn't just get you the news. It gets you the best of Ireland's stories all in one place. Whether it's the best of politics, business, sport, entertainment or lifestyle. Get it all for just €4 a month for 12 months when you first subscribe. Visit independent.ie/subscribe today. Irish Independent. Terms and conditions apply. Cancel anytime.
We were promised a bombshell political moment, and that is exactly what we got, as Leo Varadkar resigned as Taoiseach and leader of Fine Gael.
And after 7 years in office, I don't feel I'm the best person for that job anymore.
Now, over 24 hours on since the departure announcement, one runaway favourite has formed, as Simon Harris is now set to become Ireland's youngest ever Taoiseach. But is the Fine Gael top job a poison chalice in the waiting?
I don't think he could have envisaged that he would be in this situation. I don't think anybody did. And certainly I think he would have expected that he would be ascending to the top of Fine Gael at a time when the party might be on the brink of going back into opposition.
I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Hugh O'Connell, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Independent, to discuss how a domino effect of support for Simon Harris has placed him as the only horse in the race to become Ireland's next political leader. Hugh O'Connell, it's going to be Taoiseach Simon Harris. How did this come about in literally the space of 4 hours this morning?
I think within hours of Leo Varadkar announcing his resignation, TDs and senators were reaching out to Simon Harris quietly to say that they would be prepared to throw their support behind him if he was to contest for the Fine Gael leadership. And by late yesterday evening, Wednesday evening, it was clear that Harris was commanding a large body of support from within the parliamentary party of Fine Gael, which accounts for the vast majority of the vote in the electoral college system that Fine Gael runs for its leadership contests. So with that, there was a series of endorsements arriving very early on Thursday morning. Minister of State Neil Richmond was the first to come out publicly just after 8 a.m. on Morning Ireland. There was a group of senators who were posting tweets in support of Harris. And then there was more endorsements as the morning wore on. In fact, by 8:45, Simon Harris had already secured a sufficient number of endorsements, public endorsements, that he qualified for a nomination to contest for the leadership. And really, there wasn't any indication that any of the other potential contenders had put in the same level of groundwork or had indeed attracted the same level of support from members of the parliamentary party. There was at least one minister who was hitting the phones to see if they could command sufficient support, but it just wasn't there. And so it became increasingly obvious that Harris was home and hosed, even if someone threw their name into the ring and secured a nomination, Pascal Donoghue or Heather Humphreys, for example. It was unlikely, given the scale of the public endorsements that Harris had attracted, that was kind of approaching two dozen by 11, 12 o'clock, that they would be able to overturn the insurmountable lead Harris was amassing. Don't forget, they also, you know, support of councillors is important in the electoral college system. And it was clear that Harris was attracting the support of scores of councillors across the country who were putting posts on social media backing him to become leader of Fine Gael. By lunchtime, Heather Humphreys ruled herself out, as did Pascal Donoghue. Heather Humphreys threw her support behind Simon Harris publicly. Pascal Donoghue did not do that. But then all sorts of weird things started happening. For example, the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, who had ruled herself out early in the morning, and two media appearances, wouldn't throw her support behind Harris, then put out a tweet saying she was supporting Simon Harris. So this was really becoming a bit of a charade, all told. There was not going to be any contest or any campaign. It was a coronation.
So one by one, the potential opposition dropped off, and ultimately there's going to be no contest because it's a foregone conclusion. Is that fair enough?
Yeah. Now that Simon Harris is home and hosed in terms of endorsements, and now that several of the contenders, the potential contenders, have publicly indicated that they're either not running or that they're not running and they're endorsing Simon, is all but assured of becoming Taoiseach on April 9th. So now the process that follows is that he will be elected, formally elected Fine Gael leader, probably sometime in early April. There will be no contests. He will give a speech to the Fine Gael Ordesh on April 6th, setting out his agenda and his plans, although we expect to hear from him before all of that. And then barring any unforeseen events, he will be elected Taoiseach on April 9th. In the intervening period, I think we can expect that he will reach out to... I'll start that again. In the intervening period, I think we can expect that he will hold talks with the Taoiseach and Micheál Martin, with the Green Party leader Eamon Ryan, and I expect that they will be looking for assurances in and around the stability of the coalition, and that Simon Harris is committed to the government serving the full term to March 2025. Whether or not he will be prepared to give those assurances remains to be seen, but I dare say that he will have to in return for the support of Fine Gael and the Green Party. But how rock solid are those assurances in circumstances where ultimately it is the Taoiseach's prerogative at all times to head up to Oras an Uachtaráin and seek the permission of the President to dissolve the Dáil and call a general election? It remains to be seen. But really now we're just kind of going through the steps that have to be taken to formalise Simon Harris's ascension to the office of the Taoiseach.
At the age of 37... he'll be younger than Leo Varadkar was when he became Taoiseach, is that correct?
Yes, Leo Varadkar was 38 when he became Taoiseach in June 2017. Simon Harris is 37, and he will be 37 when he becomes Taoiseach in April. There is, I think, 11 months of a difference there, which means that by far and away, Simon Harris is now going to be the state's youngest ever Taoiseach when he is elected by the Dáil.
Now, there are pros and cons about him, quite clearly. If nobody in Fine Gael is willing to go up against him, and so many people are endorsing him for the leadership and for the Taoiseach's office, they clearly think highly of him. But there have been accusations, more style than substance, a lot of energy, very little vision. There's a lot of activity, but very little delivery. What's your assessment of him and his career to date?
I think what's really interesting is that the path he has gone down is very similar to that of Leo Varadkar's in many respects. Ambitious young minister who has always had designs on high office. They share very similar character traits. They're ambitious, highly intelligent, analytical, deeply political. They're media savvy. They're both seen as great communicators with the general public. They are both seen, or Varadkar once upon a time was seen as someone who could broaden Fine Gael's appeal. And that's a view, I think, articulated by a number of Fine Gael TDs and senators who wrote in behind Simon Harris, that he can broaden the party's appeal, notwithstanding the fact it's suffering from incumbency of over a decade, in fact, 13, going on 14 years. But his path to high office began, I guess, in 2009 when he was elected as a county councillor in Wicklow. Within 2 years, he was the youngest TD in the Dáil when he was elected in 2011 when Fine Gael won a landslide 77 seats. And he established himself very, very early on as a savvy media communicator. He proposed Enda Kenny for election as Taoiseach. He got onto the Public Accounts Committee, the Dáil's high profile spending watchdog, where he was very prominent as a questioner of various public officials, and then obviously getting media traction out of that. He was made a junior minister by Enda Kenny in a reshuffle in 2014 in the Department of Finance. And within 2 years, at the age of 29, he became Minister for Health in a really surprise move by Enda Kenny upon his re-election as Taoiseach. No one expected that he would appoint Simon Harris to the poison chalice that can be the Department of Health. But he did, because he rated Harris, but also because Enda Kenny had trouble getting Leo Varadkar to go back into the health portfolio. So there was a bit of a moving of the deck chairs. And the result was that Simon Harris ended up in the Department of Health and Leo Varadkar ended up in the Department of Social Protection. In 2017, Simon Harris threw his weight behind Simon Coveney for the Fine Gael leadership. This was a rare misstep, I think, by Simon Harris. He was the only member of the cabinet to publicly endorse Simon Coveney for the leadership. And it was clear very early on that Leo Varadkar had the majority of the parliamentary party well behind him, including senior members of the cabinet. And so it was a fait accompli. There was a campaign, there was hustings, but really it was a bit of a charade. But again, you see the similarities with Varadkar Harris. It has become a fait accompli that Harris is going to be the next leader of Fine Gael, just as it was the case for Leo Varadkar 7 years ago. But this time there is probably not going to be a contest in the same way that there was a contest 7 years ago.
So what's he offering that Leo Varadkar didn't?
Well, we've yet to figure out what that is, being quite honest. I mean, we've yet to hear from Simon Harris publicly. It's worth noting that as we speak right now, Fiona, Simon Harris hasn't actually declared that he's willing to contest for the leadership of Fine Gael. But it would be a shock, probably a bigger shock than Leo Varadkar resigning, if he turned around and said, actually, despite all of these endorsements, ringing endorsements from my colleagues across Fine Gael, I'm not prepared to run for the leadership of the party. So in those circumstances, I don't think we can expect that to happen. I think we can expect Simon Harris to set out his stall pretty quickly as to what we can expect from him over the next few months as Taoiseach and as Fine Gael leader.
What about the upcoming local and European elections? It definitely was part of the mindset for Leo Varadkar in terms of him stepping down at this time. Does Simon Harris get a free pass on that one, or is there now an expectation that Fine Gael will do slightly better than they were expecting to do?
I think there's mixed views in Fine Gael as to whether or not he would necessarily get a free pass. I mean, ultimately, if it's a horrific day for Fine Gael, the argument can reasonably be made that Simon Harris was unable to change the narrative around his party. We have no way of knowing how well or how badly Fine Gael would have done or will do under Leo Varadkar, because he's obviously decided that he's not the best person to lead the party into the local and European elections. But it was and is expected that Fine Gael will suffer losses, both in terms of council seats, dozens of council seats maybe falling to Sinn Féin, into the hands of Sinn Féin and others on the opposition benches, and that the party, which has 5 MEPs after a pretty astounding result in 2019, will not return 5 MEPs on this occasion, could return as few as 2, and on a good day maybe 3, maybe at a push 4. But what Simon Harris does to change the public's perception of Fine Gael and to change the voters' views of Fine Gael, really, it's just unknowable as to what extent he will be blamed for any bad setback that Fine Gael suffers on June the 7th.
Then what about general election date? Does this change of leader definitely push it back to February, March of next year, the full 5-year term? Or are we still playing a guessing game around the end of the year?
It's a guessing game, but there's two things I'd say on that. I think that inherently a change of leadership in one of the 3 constituent parts of the coalition makes this coalition inherently more unstable than it was 48 hours ago. But Simon Harris will want to bet into the office of Taoiseach. He'll want to get around the country as Taoiseach. He'll want to go to European Council summits as Taoiseach. He'll want to travel to European capitals as Taoiseach and meet his counterparts, his fellow prime ministers. He'll want to establish relationships within the government system, obviously as Taoiseach, but also with government leaders in other jurisdictions. And I think that wanting to do that and wanting to steady the ship and wanting to broaden Fine Gael's appeal, he'll need as much time as possible in the Taoiseach's office. There's no desire on the part of Fianna Fáil or the Green Party to have an early election. And indeed, both the leaders of those two parties have articulated the view that this government should go the full term. And I think we can expect that they will be looking for assurances from Harris on that in return for their support for the election to the office of Taoiseach in April. So I think on balance, it probably makes it more likely that this government goes the full term to March 2025.
Finally, Fine Gael coming towards the end of their third full term almost in office. They'll have had 14 years in government. They're looking a bit tired. They're looking a bit jaded. Has Simon Harris just grabbed a poison chalice here?
I don't think that Simon Harris is becoming Fine Gael leader and Taoiseach in the manner in which he envisaged, as recently as last week. I don't think he could have envisaged that he would be in this situation. I don't think anybody did. And certainly I think he would have expected that he would be ascending to the top of Fine Gael at a time when the party might be on the brink of going back into opposition, at a time when the party would have been unceremoniously turfed out by the voters, and that he would have seen that as an opportunity to rebuild the party from the opposition benches as an effective opposition party to a, for example, a Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil government or some other type of government. What's happened now is that he has landed, or he is on the brink of landing, the top job much sooner than he would have anticipated, and at a time when he has to fight two elections in within a matter of weeks, and then plot a course for trying to win Fine Gael seats in the next general election, which, as we said, must be within the next year. Leo Radker had spoken, quite recently of hoping to get between 45 and 50 seats for Fine Gael in that next general election, taking account of the fact that the next Dáil will be 15 seats larger than it is at present. That is a big challenge for Simon Harris to achieve that, purely because the poll numbers would indicate that Fine Gael is actually going to lose seats and not keep seats. And add to that the fact that there are anywhere between 10 to 12, 13, 14 TDs who won't be running again for Fine Gael in a situation where incumbency really does matter in these types of elections, in general elections. This will be a big problem and a big headache for Simon Harris. So he faces a huge challenge. We can't say yet whether it's a poison chalice, but it is certainly a challenge, his biggest challenge, and one which will come to define whether or not he is Taoiseach for merely 9 to 12 months, or whether he can somehow secure another term for Fine Gael, despite the fact it's had 13, going on 14 years in office.
And my thanks to Hugh O'Connell for joining me. I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Ian Doyle, researched by Dave Hanratty, with sound by John Smith. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to follow the podcast and leave us a review.
This week on Crime World...
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave, 1919, 1920. There's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.